I believe, but. There's always that in there. I believe, but. There's no buts in believing. It is I believe or I don't. And so we're going to talk about that tonight. So we're excited about that. But we want to, of course, open up in prayer tonight. And I know there are many needs out there. I want to pray for Miss Lillian, if you're watching. I know she called me today and just needs some prayer today. So if you can pray for Lillian, and I know many others are out there need prayer requests. And if there's something going on tonight you want us to know about, if you're watching us on Facebook, just put that on there. You know, pray for me, or if there's a need you have, just put that on there, and so we'll know. We can be praying for you guys. Any spoken requests here tonight for the ones that are here? Yes, Brent. Okay. Brand's got a friend out of state who needs some prayers, so let's remember that. Good. Gail talked to Joe Brown about sharing. Yeah, she had some surgery a few weeks back and said she's doing really good, so that's good news. We love Sharon and Joe, and just ready to see their faces and ready to see all your faces. It's just so lonely. I was telling Melanie how different it is for me. I miss everybody so much, and I know y'all miss each other, and hopefully all this will be normalized fairly soon, and we'll be together again. But thank y'all for staying connected with us through Facebook, and a lot of you are calling me, and I'm calling you guys, and you're texting, and we're staying connected, so we appreciate that. Let's pray tonight. Father, as we go into this message tonight about faith, I'm so thankful for you, Lord. I'm so thankful that we have a king that's above this kingdom. We have a God who is not controlled by man, who is not influenced by earthly decisions. God, you're over all decisions, and we thank you for that. We thank you that you are the healer, and you are the redeemer, and you are the Lord, and you are the deliverer, and you are the provider and the protector, and you are all of those things in our lives. And we just we pray for Lillian tonight, Lord, that you touch her and give her what she needs tonight and help her through this situation. And we just pray for healing and peace for her life tonight. We pray for all of our church family, for all those in need, for all those that are suffering something, God. You know what they are, and you care for those needs, and we give you praise for it. And we are here to worship you tonight. We are here to celebrate you tonight. We are here to give you praise and glory tonight. For your Holy Spirit is here, and your Holy Spirit is alive. And no amount of shutdown, as I said last week, can shut down your power, your anointing, and your presence. And we thank you for that, God, that you are still Lord. Bless the word tonight and the worship as we sing and give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen. And if you're at home, say amen. If you can hold off just a minute, Marjorie Melody will help you sing tonight. We are going to kind of break out a little oldie chorus. Some of you have probably heard this song, but it's kind of an oldie little chorus about I'll enter his gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise. And that's why we're here tonight. So you at home and you that are here, just worship with us and praise the Lord tonight.
I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. Yeah. Testing. Well, I'm going to do, I have been blessed, and our church family knows this is my funeral song, because I think this song sums up my life. My son found the verses I've added to this song for my life, but he was taking a peek. He said, "Ooh, is this personal?" And I said, "Yeah, it's just, I've added it." He said, "Oh," and he closed it back. I said, "No, that's fine. I think it's important for your family to know the verses of your life while you're living." But anyway, this sums it all up. We have truly been so blessed.
Shoulder to lean on when I am down, the rock where he leads me when I'm so overwhelmed, the place where he hides me under his wings. He's not just a song, he's the reason I sing. I have been blessed.
If you're watching from home right now, stand up where you're at and sing this song. Lift your hands and sing this song where you're at.
God's so good to me.
Yes,
precious song.
Y'all sung that from the house if you're watching. Y'all know this song. Our church family knows this song. I've been blessed. I mean, think about this. For our church family, there's none of you that I know of that's been sick with this virus. Most of you, the Lord is providing. And you're, you know, if you're not working, God's still providing. Most of you are still working. And the Lord is making a way. And you still got your home. You still got your clothes. You still got something to drive. Life is going on for you because God is in your life, and that is just amazing. So we have so been blessed, and I'm so grateful and so thankful. So thank you, Melanie. And for those of you that are watching that may not know who that woman was singing, that woman was my woman, my wife, Melanie Lewis. So appreciate you singing that, baby. Thank you. We're going to be doing another story of faith tonight. We've been doing a series on Wednesday nights of stories of faith. Last Wednesday, if any of you remember what we talked about, Doc, is Doc watching? I don't know if Doc's watching or not. But Doc, if you're watching, what did we talk about last Wednesday? I know you don't remember, that brain of yours. We talked about Daniel in the lion's den. And we talked about that story and how God preserved Daniel through all that that night in the lion's den and how God protected him. So we're going to talk tonight about another story of faith, and most of us know this story too. It's found in 2 Kings, the book of 2 Kings chapter 5, and we're going to talk about a man who had a disease and a sickness. He was dying. There was no cure for what he had except for one cure, and that was the hand of God, and the hand of God did show up for this man's life. And we're going to be in 2 Kings chapter 5, and my title message is I Believe But. Maybe you're out there and you're like, I believe God's going to keep me from the virus, but I believe God's going to provide for me, but I believe that God can heal me, but. And there's always that thing we add on the other side of that instead of taking God for his word. You know, I'm a preacher of grace. I believe in that. And some, you know, believe in all grace. Some believe in all works. Some maybe believe in both. I'm a preacher that believes in the grace of Jesus and grace alone. And I believe that there's no buts to add to the cross. That Jesus died for mankind, and there's no buts past that. He died, period. He died, final. He died forever. He died for us. And so we walk by faith. We got to believe. You know, do we believe God fully, or is those, or do we believe him when it works out the way that we think it should work out? Or do we believe, it's kind of like I say all the time, we pray for God's will to be done, but we don't really like his will. We pray, God, I'll follow you wherever you lead until he tells us to follow. And we're like, what? Where? I've told this story before. When I first started the ministry, I was working at Walmart, and God was telling me about something different and had it heavy on my heart. And I talked to my loving, supportive wife, and she's like, you know, honey, I'll follow you wherever. I trust you know the voice of God. I believe, I trust, da-da-da. You know, whatever decision you make, I'm right behind you. 110%, baby, I'm behind you. So I come home one day, sitting on the couch. We had three small kids. She did not work. And we you know, had a home, mortgage, bills, like all of us do. And I told her, I said, honey, God has spoken to me that it's time for me to leave. And she looked at me, she said, are you sure it's God's voice you heard? You know, it's something, we're all about faith until the rubber meets the road, aren't we? We're all gung-ho, you know, when the paycheck's rolling in. When the check stops, are we still gung-ho? When the car breaks down, and I've had my share of that, believe me, do we still say, hooray, hooray, God's in control? You know, when things go wild and things go crazy, do we still believe God? Here's a story of a man who had a sickness. He had a physical disease that only God could heal him of. And let's start in this, 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 1. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable because by him the Lord had given and delivered unto Syria. For he was a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. Now we know leprosy was some kind of skin disease that there was no cure for. They were considered outcast, unclean. Lepers couldn't go worship in the temple. Lepers couldn't go in town in public. Lepers were considered, stay away from me, put the cross up, 6 feet for sure. Don't come near me. You got leprosy. And he was it was terminal. There was no cure for leprosy. It was a terminal disease where he would have died without healing. The Syrians had gone out by companies, had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said to her mistress, "Would God my Lord, the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy." And one went in and told his Lord, saying, "Thus and thus said the maid that this is of the land of Israel." This little maiden, this one voice of nobody that meant anything to anybody, had the greatest message ever. There's somebody can help you. There's somebody that can heal you. There's an answer for your problem. There's an answer. And from the voice of this little maid, this word came out. So verse 5, "The king of Syria said, 'Go, I will send a letter to the king of Israel.' And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver," which was about 12,000 ounces, "and 6,000 pieces of gold, and 10 changes of raiment." He was packing a treasure to give to the king to get his prophet to come and to bring healing to his soldier. He brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, "Now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have sent Naaman, my servant, to thee, that you may come and recover him of his leprosy." And it came to pass, when the king of Israel read this letter, he rent his clothes and said, "Am I God to kill and to make alive? And this man does send to me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore consider, I pray you, how he seeketh a quarrel against me." He thought this was some kind of thing to create a war. Why? I'm not God. How can I cure a man of leprosy? What's he really up to? What's the real point? What's really happening here? "And it was so when Elisha, the man of God, heard the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, 'Wherefore have you rent your clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel.' So Naaman came." And here it is. The word's gotten out. Somebody can help you. So Naaman's excited. He's coming to the prophet's house. He's expecting his healing to come. He makes this journey. And by the way, this was about a 150 or 160 mile journey he made from where he was near Damascus down here to Samaria. Now, 150 miles don't sound like nothing to us. We can get there in, 2-3 hours? 2.5 hours. But when the average travel was about 20 to 25 miles a day, this was about a 6-day journey there and a 6-day journey back. So Naaman wanted this healing pretty bad, and he made this journey to go to the prophet. He took the first step. Me and someone before church, we're talking about that very same thing. How we got to sometimes take the first step. So Naaman took this 6-day journey by faith, believing this prophet could heal him. Now, his motive might have been a little bit off, with the money and the treasure, thinking, "I'll buy my miracle, I'll buy my healing." But the point is, he made the journey. He heard somebody could help him, so he made this journey on his own intentionally to go see this prophet. So he took the first step in the right direction to trust God for his miracle. So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot. Now remember, he's a great, mighty man of valor. He had status and prestige. He wasn't just some yo-yo off the street. And if you're a yo-yo off the street, no offense. God loves you yo-yos too. I'm just saying, he was a man that was of high esteem. He came to the house of Elisha. So he's expecting this great prophet to come out. "I'm the great Naaman. You're going to do this great work of God." But look what happened in verse 10. Elisha didn't come out. He sent a messenger unto him. A messenger, and the messenger is going to give him a message of what to do. Why didn't the prophet come out? Because the power is not in the prophet, the power is in God. And so he was just sending out the message of what God wanted him to do. And here's the message to this great dignitary: "Go and wash in Jordan seven times, and your flesh shall come again to you, and you will be clean. Now, I want you to think about this. That was a very simple request, wasn't it? Really? Go to Jordan, dip seven times. Sounds simple. But something got in the way with this Naaman called pride. Pride gets in our way, right? We want God to move, but God move in the way that don't bring no kind of circus act to it. Move in the way that's dignified, right? Move in the way that's holy. Move in a way, God, that I think you should move. How many times we heard that verse quoted? God moves in what? Mysterious ways, right? God moves in mysterious ways. The message was to go dip in the Jordan seven times. Why that was the deal that God had, don't really know. But it was what God told him to do. Now, the Jordan River was about another 25 miles away from where he was. So now he's got to go another day's journey to get to the river and a day back to get to the river. And the Jordan was a nasty, muddy river. It wasn't very pretty. You know, it wasn't like beautiful Lake Norman. It was like the Catawba. It was a big difference. Naaman was mad, verse 11. He was mad. Why was he? I'm going to tell you something. If some of y'all came to me and said, Pastor, I don't have leprosy, by the way. Thank Jesus. But let's use another example we can relate to. If somebody said, Pastor, I will pay off your house and I'll heal you of all debt. Woo, hallelujah. I'll heal you of all your debt if you go to the Catawba River and dip seven times. I'll be there. I've been there yesterday. I'm going to be down there. I don't care. In the middle of that river, right on I-40 with all the traffic, I'll be having a sign. God is setting me free. Woo! No more house payment. Watch this. One, I'm six steps closer. Five, I'm whatever. And boy, I would not think about it. But this was a dignitary. He was official. He's like, I got to dip in the Jordan seven times. I got to submit myself to this. And he got mad. Why was he mad? Here's why he's mad. Because it says, I thought. That's the first mistake, right? But I thought, well, don't think. There's times we don't need to think. We need just to listen and obey. And he thought because he already had it in his mind how God was going to do it. Because he tells it right here in a minute. He had a plan of how God would do his thing. I bet God finds great amusement in that, doesn't he? That we just, you know, we have this plan. You know, to God, if you do it this way, you know, if you do it this way, God, if you just send the check. Lord, if somehow that stimulus check is 12,000 instead of 1,200, they add extra zero. That's how you would work. You know, I mean, we think things like that. And we try to figure out how God's going to work instead of letting him work. I know I've said this before and Melanie said it too. However you think God's going to move, write it down and then crumble it up and burn it. Because that's not how it's going to work. God shows up in absolutely amazing ways in our lives through means that we cannot ever even think of. We have seen it. Me and Melanie have seen it in our lives, our family's life, how God has moved in from through people and through means and through ways that was absolutely impossible. You know, about 4 years ago, about 7 years ago, we were trying to sell our house we were in. We had that house in the market for 8 months. Ocho months. It's a long time. In 8 months, we had a lot of people come see it, but not one offer. Not one. And me and Mel were getting a little complex, you know. We were getting a little bit, is our house, you know, is it that bad? Nobody wants our house. I mean, really? And so finally, I remember telling Mel, I said, Mel, God's not in this right now. He's not in it. Let's take it off the market. He's just not in it. And I felt that. And he wasn't in it. About 2 years later, we put our house to market again. A couple years later, 3 years, right? About four years later. When you get to be my age, the years just kind of, you know, melt together. 4 years later, we put our house back on the market because God opened up another home for us in an area we didn't expect to live, but that's what God opened up. 4 years later, put the same house that didn't have a single offer in 8 months on the market, and the first day, it hit on a Friday, I believe. Friday, the first day our house hit the market, we had an offer day one. One. And the house sold for the person who made the offer in the first day. God, it was God's timing. It was God's way. I didn't expect God to move that fast. I really didn't. But boy, he showed up. And that's how God does things. What we tried to do in 8 months, God did in just a day because God was in it. So God does things his way. This Naaman, this captain was mad. And here's why he's mad. Because he says, I thought that he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of his Lord and strike his hand over the place and I would be healed. I can imagine his 6-day journey. That's what he's thinking about in that chariot, right? Here's the prophet's going to come out. He's going to wave his hand in the name of Jesus. Mr. Gordon, be healed. And he walks away and it happens. But no, there was another step he had to take. There was something else he had to do. And the biggest thing he had to do was humble himself and not let pride stand in the way. You know, there are times, I believe, through the years of the church here that there have been people that have not come to the altar because of pride. You know, that's just silly. I can get God back here. I can stay in my seat. I don't need to go up front. God sees me as I am, and yes, he does, and blah, 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 and I know all that. But there's times God moves us to do things out of our comfort zone. There's time God draws us because he's wanting to touch us in a special way, and we have to respond to him. And this captain had a choice to make. He was going to do what God said, or he could go back home still sick. He had in his mind how God was going to move. Then he goes on to justify why he should do it differently. He says, are not Abana and Parphar, rivers of Damascus, which is where he's from, better than all the waters of Israel? Not if you want to be made whole. Not if you want to be healed, it ain't. They might get prettier big mouth bass out of that river, but do you want to be healed or not? He says, are these two rivers not better than all the Israel? Can I not go wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. You want me to get in this muddy, nasty little Jordan River when I got these beautiful rivers back home and I got to go another day out of my way and a day back to get there? God, can you not work it out this way? Why do we negotiate with God? Why do we try to bargain with God? Why don't we just allow him to be our God and put no buts behind what he's telling us to do? Okay, Lord, I believe and there's no buts behind it. I believe, period. I believe because. I believe because you are. I believe because you live. I believe because I'm your child. I believe because it's the word of God. I believe because it's truth. I don't have to see a sign to believe. You, God, are the sign. The creator of all creation is the sign. We see him in everything. Everywhere we go, we see the hand of God. And that is enough for us to believe. He even said that over in Romans, that I've given you all creation for the unbelievers to recognize and point everyone that there is a creator. How much more could God have created for man to believe there's a God? I mean, how much more could he have done? I mean, we see the seas that are endless, the space which is endless. How much more could he have done? And so here is this captain bargaining with the prophet, saying, I don't want to go there. I want to do it this way. But thank God he had some wise counsel around him that talked to him and whispered in his ear. His servants came, and they spoke to him and said, my father, if the prophet had told you, bid you, to do some great thing, would you not have done that? How much rather, he says, wash and be clean. Isn't that how salvation is? Just, here I am, Lord. Cleanse me with your blood. We make that so complicated. There are people that fight the cross because it's not a great and mighty thing to them to do. You mean all I have to do is just be washed and be clean? Yes. You surrender to God. That's all you got to do. You come in your filthy rags and he cleans you up. He cleans you up. I got saved, born again, my life changed in a tent revival in Wilkes County. It wasn't a grand cathedral. It was in Wilkes County under a tent with a homemade stage and folding chairs and grass, no carpet, no chandeliers, tent lights. And I felt God draw my heart and speak to me and drew me to that altar under that tent and said, Lord, here I am. I don't know exactly what I'm feeling, but I'm feeling something real, and I want what I'm feeling right now. God drew me. If he'd been some great thing, He'd have done it because what he was about, doing great things. But something as simple as just going to the river and dipping seven times, you get mad about that? He wanted the healing, but he wanted it his way and not God's way. His servants talked to him. After they talked to him, he listened to them, which is good. Look at verse 14. He went down. He dipped himself seven times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh came again, like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. I've told a story many times, and I've often wondered, and I think I probably know how it turned out, but I've always wondered, was there seven times, right? So when he went down the first time, came up, was there any change at all? The second time, a little more change. Third time, a little more change. Or was he just a complete leper until the seventh time? And we got the seventh time, it was just instantly all gone. I tend to believe the seventh time, it was just all gone. I think it looked the same until the seventh time. And I wonder how discouraged he may have been being. You know, in your life, you go through things over and over and over, nothing changes. Okay, I go down one time and come up, and I'm the same person. I go down a second time this journey, I come back up, nothing's changed. I've served God one time. I've given to God one time. I've done this one time. I've done this two times. I've done this three times. I've done this four times. I've tried this five times. I've tried this six times. I believe it was a test of his faith. Would he carry through the process of seven times? Or would he go down one time, or maybe two or three times, after the third time say, nothing's changed? I ain't going to do this no more. I've done been down three times, and nothing's changed. I ain't going to dip myself in my dignity four more times. Bless you. But he obeyed. And the seventh time is what I believe he came up, and his flesh and his sores and all of that was clean because he obeyed God fully to the end. We can't partially obey God. We can't trust God on things that we can trust him for, and then not trust him on things that we can't trust him for. You know, God's the God of all things, okay? We can't trust him. Yeah, Lord, you can heal this headache, but you can't heal my stage four cancer. Yeah, Lord, you can help my marriage, but you can't save my child, or whatever we compare things. There's no comparison to God. He's God over all things. He's king over all. And we see it all throughout the Bible. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. He healed the blind. He did all kinds of things. He rose up armies to cast people away. He raised up legions of angels. He's done it all. We've seen giants slayed, lions' mouths closed, Red Seas parted. This is the God that we serve. And for this captain who was at first mad because the prophet didn't give him the direction that he thought he should be given because it wasn't dignified enough, let's just trust God in what he gives us and obey the simple things. When God speaks to you, obey it. When God moves upon you, obey it. When God whispers something to you, listen to it and do it. There's a reason he's talking to you about this. This prophet sent out a messenger, didn't come out of himself, sent out a messenger because, see, it wasn't him with the power, it was God with the power. And the message was, do this, and he did. I can imagine his journey on the way back. Verse 15, I don't have it on the screen. That's okay, Brandon. Verse 15 says this: he returned to the man of God, he and all his company, and stood before him and said, behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. How powerful is that testimony? Remember, he came out of Syria. And it wasn't that he was against God, because the Bible says in verse 1, that God had gave him victory, and he was an honorable man, and all that stuff. But now he is making a declaration. He says, let it be known, I know now, there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Then he says, pray you take a blessing to your servant. And then it goes on to talk about how the prophet refused the blessing. This, you can't buy this. This is a gift from God. You can't buy it. And it goes on to talk about that. But we end this faith story with a man recognizing who the true living God was. And God moved in the muddy Jordan River. God can move in the muddiness of your life. He can move in the dirt pile you're in. He can move wherever place you find yourself. Leprosy is just one thing that he healed, but he can heal any disease, any sickness, any pain, any problem, any issue, any battle, move any mountain out of our lives. And sometimes we may have to dip more than one time to get it, and that's okay. Walking in faith is a process. It's not an overnight thing. It's a process of daily living and daily believing no matter what we see. I've been trying to put, which I usually always do anyway, but I've been trying to really put positive verses of faith the last month or so because we're hearing just the negative. We're hearing all the reports of everything, how everything's wrong. We're hearing, you know, everything that the media is telling us. And I love the post I saw on Facebook that says, if the media shut down for 30 days, most of the world's problems will go away. Now, I want you to think about that. Now, y'all don't shout amen or nothing, and some of y'all may make you a little mad because you're media little bugs, and that's okay. But I'm just saying, we need to have faith no matter what we are faced with. Faith in God should not be determined by the size of the problem in front of us, because it's still not bigger than God. Faith should not be determined by our circumstances that's happening against us. Faith in God shouldn't happen by what happens tomorrow or next week or by a phone call or by anything. Faith should not be measured by what's happening to us now. Faith should be measured by the God that we serve. And I serve God today, tomorrow, forevermore, no matter what comes our way. People are frightened right now and they're afraid and there's all kinds of theories and all kinds of things and this is the end time and the Lord is returning and this is the mark of the beast and we're seeing all of this stuff happening. And I don't want us to get too caught up in that. I just want us to trust the Lord. Because whatever happens, I'm a God. Gordon, I'm a God. No matter what happens, I'm a God. No matter what takes me out of this life, no matter what comes, no matter what happens, trial or tribulation, hell or high water, I'm with God. And that's who I trust. And that's who you need to trust out there. Trust the Lord through this and do not fear. So many times in the Bible, he said, don't fear, don't fear, don't fear, don't be afraid, don't fear. He says that all the time. Because storms are going to rise and storms are going to come, but I choose to stand on the Word of God and trust Him through all of this. Here's another beautiful story of faith of a man who was miraculously healed with a terminal disease that should have killed him, but just by simply going into a muddy river, God healed him. No medication, no vaccine, no surgery, no chemo, no doctors, no nurses. It was just him and God in the middle of that river, and God changed him. God can change our lives in a moment. Don't give up because you've not seen it happen yet. If he'd have stopped any short of seven times, he'd have went away the same way that he was. But because he went the full distance, all seven dips is why he was made whole. I think some of us have only gone down three times while we're still battling what we're battling. We've gone down four times or five times. Let's go on down until God says, okay, it is good. It is good. So, beautiful story of faith. And this man went back home, and I can't imagine what his leaders, when he got back to hometown, said, like, oh, my Lord, what happened to you? The God of Israel hath made me whole. And here's the beautiful thing about this. The prophet wasn't even in the water with him. The messenger wasn't in the water with him. He just gave him the message. Here's what God said. Go do it. It's him and his servants watching this, but I imagine Naaman, as he approached that water, was there hesitation? Was there jokes cracked? Okay, boys, this sure ain't the far, far river. This sure ain't Lake Norman. This sure ain't the Lake Tahoe, you know. But we'll see what happens, boys. Y'all just hear my stuff. And he starts, you know, whatever he removed to get in the water and his sandals and, you know, and probably, like I said, probably making, I hope ain't no crocodiles up in here and ain't no rattlesnakes. And he's getting in that water. And he's muddy. Can't even see the bottom of it. Don't know what he's stepping into. And I just wonder what, in that moment, he went in there. Was he looking around, see if anybody was watching? Did he say anything? Okay, God, here I go. You know, goes down, comes up. Goes down, comes up. Goes down a third time, comes up. But what I love about this story is he did it seven times. So many times we give up because it doesn't happen now. It doesn't happen the first time. It doesn't happen when we think it should happen. And so we think God's not in it because it's not happening now. It's just that we've not finished what God's told us to do. So finish the course, stay the course, and wait for God to change your circumstance because He will. Story of faith tonight, this beautiful story of God's healing. We will have another one next Wednesday night. I know we're a little bit shorter tonight. We just finished up a little bit shorter. And all that good stuff. But is there anybody here that has anything you would like to add tonight to what you've heard? Anything, Gordon? Melanie? Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Did it sting or burn or? It did. Yeah. Dirty water cleaning dirty sores. Right. But you're right. Humble. That was a deal. See, at first he wasn't gonna humble himself. He was too proud. I ain't gonna do that. We got people like that, don't we? So arrogant. We got Christians like that, right? Just so arrogant. You know, I ain't gonna do that now. You know, we got some people that a preacher don't carry their own Bible, right? They got a Bible carrier. You go carry my Bible. When I walk in, buddy, you better stand up and show like I'm somebody. Really? No. We got to humble ourselves. Humility. Humble. What you going to say, Melanie? Yeah, it's a good, kind of baptism, how we leave the old man behind, right? We leave the old man down. That's the whole point of baptism. You leave the old person behind and you come up a brand new person. Well, he surely did come up a brand new person. Don't be too proud to ask God for help out there, y'all. Don't be too proud to pray. Don't be too proud to do whatever he tells you to do. There's nothing beneath. I mean, remember the story I said a few, that Jesus washed the disciples' feet. Jesus did that. And Peter fussed at him. Master, what are you doing? You're the master. You're the king. You're washing my feet. And he says, if I don't wash you, you won't be clean. Then he goes, wash all of me. Wash my head. Wash all of me, Lord. Because I want to be clean. Wash me. I want to be a part of your kingdom. It is amazing how we have, we think that we're too good to do something that God's called to do. No, just humble yourselves, you know, and believe without any of the buts behind it. I believe without anything else. God, I believe. I mean, we seem just to always mix that with things. And I think God is wanting us in this time, especially we're in now, to truly trust him to protect us and to seal us and to watch over us. That in the midst of the darkness that God protects us and watches us. And anyway, I've got one thing I'm pondering, but I don't think I will say that tonight. So I think I'm just going to let it lie. Let's go let that lie, because that will make some of you upset, so I'm going to let it lie. Anybody else got anything? You got anything, Peyton? Are you still doing your karate classes? What are you up to now? Blue belt? Very good. Good job. How many belts have you earned? Well, Peyton's doing karate. He's earned 4 belts, so we're very proud of him for that. And a few more belts, we won't be able to handle him. And that'd be very nice to him and not call him down ever in church again. He'll flip-flop me like Hong Kong Fooey. All right. Well, I think that's our message. Tune in Sunday morning at 10 o'clock sharp, and we'll get into the Word of God again. And we appreciate you that have watched tonight, and we appreciate your continued support for us financially during this time. Y'all been so, so good to this ministry, and we appreciate your giving. It's made all the difference. And hopefully this will be over soon, and we can all be back together, loving each other, and being all one big happy family here in the church. If your cups are still here. Paul and Selena stopped by the church this evening to see me and drop off something, and I showed them their cup. So they saw their cup over there, the Russian cup, and Nancy, Rose, and Sherry came by a couple weeks ago, and I showed them their cup. And so the cups are still here, and very soon you'll be replacing those cups, and that's going to be a beautiful thing to see your faces. That is for sure. So Well, let's close out in prayer tonight. Father, as we close out this service, we thank you for the Word of God once again that encourages us that no matter how dire our situation looks, it's like Naaman. He had a terminal illness that could not be cured. He was considered unclean, Lord, and he would eventually die from that disease if not for your touch. But God, you stepped in and you made Naaman whole. And more importantly even than that, you showed him and those around him who the only true living God was, the only one that could make him whole, the only one that could bring healing. We know, God, there is only one true living God in this universe. And we thank you that we know that, God. We know you, Lord. We call you by name. You call us by name. We have a relationship with you, Lord. It's not superficial. It's not outside. It's a very intimate relationship. We're behind the veil. We're behind the curtain, God. We're in your presence. And we are so thankful that you chose this way to come into man, that we can have a relationship with a holy God. I pray that this word encourages us as we go our separate ways tonight and the rest of the week, God, that we will believe in you with no buts added to it. I'm just going to believe, God. I'm not going to add one thing to it. I am just going to believe you at your word. Just like when the fishermen dropped the nets and they've been fishing all night long and you told them to let them down one more time. And they said, nevertheless, God, we haven't caught anything all night, but nevertheless, at your word, we will do it. And they dropped those nets, God, and you filled their lives with more than they could ever possibly dream of. Thank you, God, that your word produces results. Your word produces change. Your word produces healing. Your word produces miracles. Your word produces deliverance. We thank you for that, God. Bless your people. Bless our Living Word family tonight. We love them so much. And I pray you keep them and watch over them. Give them peace and joy during this time like never before. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.